We are continuing in Siman Tzadi Vav. And we're going to begin with the question of how does Charif affect Kalim? Meaning to say that what we've been talking about until now is that when you cut, let's say, a knife that's Eino Ben Yomo, it makes it as though it's Ben Yomo. What about other effects are there from Charif onto the Kli? How does it affect the status of the Kli? So there are a couple of questions. The first question is, what's the halacha if I cooked something Charif in, let's say, a tray frying pan, and after 24 hours, I cook something kosher in that frying pan? What's the halacha? So the Shoel in the Rashba, Tshuva Chelak Aleph Siman Tav Tzadi Zayin, made the following argument. Just like we say Charif turns blios that are Eino Ben Yomo into Ben Yomo, so the platos of a Davar Charif should perpetually be Ben Yomo. In other words, the frying pan will never expire, will never turn into Eino Ben Yomo, because the trefa onion blios remain Ben Yomo forever. So the Rashba says, no, this is wrong. Among other things, because if it were correct, how could we ever say Stam Kalim or Einam B'nei Yoman? If they cooked something Charif in it, so then it would be Ben Yomo forever. And that's, of course, how we paskin. The Ramah in Kuf Chaf Beis, Sif Gimel, writes that if you cook Davar Charif in a pot, after 24 hours, it too expires, it's Einam Ben Yomo, and it goes back to normal. Okay, now what about the following question? Until now, we were talking about a case of, let's say, you had a fleishig onion and it cut a knife. What about the other way? So let's take a simple question, a simple example, and then a little more complex example. So let's say you used a parva knife to cut a charif piece of meat. Would we say, or an onion that, so what would the halacha be? Would we say that the knife becomes fleishik because it's charif? So that's one question. So there, we're machmir. Basically, it works two ways. That makes sense. What about the following case? One step further. Let's say you cut you put in the same blender meat and onions, right? You put meat and onions in a blender that was parev. Would we say that blender becomes fleishik? So the Tor in Orach Chaim Siman Tafnun Aleph writes that it would become fleishik. And he brings the following raya from the Gemara Pesachim on Lamed Amud Beis. The Gemara there says, we quoted it earlier, that if you have a mixing bowl that you use for yeast, so that becomes chametz stick. There's a discussion in a poskim whether Haggalah works or doesn't work, but we certainly assume it's boleya tam shel chametz. So you see that Charif has the possibility to make a kli chametz stick. So to over here, the onions, let's say you put onions and meat into a meducha and you crushed it, so too the meducha would become fleishik. Now the raya isn't a perfect raya. Maybe there it's because of something more like a kavosh kemevushel or the like. But nevertheless, the Tor thinks it's a good raya, and that's the way it's really based off of Rashi, and that's the way the Magen Avraham and Siman Tafnun Aleph Sif Katan Lamed Aleph and the Mishneh Brura Tafnun Aleph Sif Katan Pei Vav and Sadi Paskins. So there it's talking about chametz. Let's say you have a meducha where you crush the breadcrumbs together with something else. So then the meducha would become chametz stick. The Taz also cites it in Siman Tzadi Zayin Sif Katan Aleph. So likewise, if you have a blender that you put an onion and a piece of meat in, we would say that the blender would become fleishik. Now, you could ask the following question, which is, How is this possible? Let's take, again, their actual case, but it's the same as a blender, right? You have a maducha, and you use the maducha to crush meat plus onions. So, Bishlama will say, because of Docha, you see, first of all, from that tour, that Docha de Sakina is not limited to a sakin. It's any time there's pressure, any time there's significant dochak, then this would apply. So even though there's nothing sharp when you use a maducha, it's only blunt, but because it's high pressure, so the principle of docha de sakina plus harf applies. Okay, that makes sense. But the question still is, how does it work? Because how can the meat go into the maducha? If you're going to say that the meat, the harif, let's say the onions become fleishiks, because the interaction in the maducha between the meat and the onions causes the onions to become fleishiks. So that I could understand. But so let's say the onions did become fleishiks. But how is the onions going to make the maducha fleishiks? Ein balo yotze balo rotev, right? So there's one of two possible answers. Either, no, it's pshat is that the onions make the basar charif, and then they go from the basar into the maducha, then it's not a balua. Alternatively, maybe whenever we're talking about davar charif, we forget the rule of ein balua yotze below rotev. We'll see shortly that there might be some achronim that seem to assume this. The Chavostas, as we'll see shortly, says we don't say that. The normal rules of Ein Balo Yotze Balo Rotev even apply for Charif, and after all, why shouldn't they? But perhaps some poskim are going to say that, just like we throw out all sorts of other rules by Dafer Charif, like no Sein Tam Lefgam, so we'll also throw out the principle, and we throw out not bar not, maybe we'll also throw out the principle of Ein Balo Yotze Balo Rotev. So, but that's the halacha, yeah.
Even the Basar becomes Charif, so how does that make
just like, let's say, you would agree that if you cut the charif basar with the par of knife, the knife would become fleishiks?
Oh, it's because of the dilka.
Right.
And then a blender would be the meat hitting the blade.
Right.
And it's charif.
Exactly.
If you were to first cut an onion and immediately cut basar, is that, obviously it doesn't work with the packet.
No, that's nothing.
What about, meaning however it's working in the blender, and not all that sad that it's at the basar becomes charif.
So you would say it, if it's not outside side, you would say that the interaction between the meat and the onion causes the onion to be bolaya meat, right?
And then the onion,
Is maflet into the blades of the blender. Maybe in the blender there's rotev, I don't know.
Okay.
Yep, so that's the next halacha. Okay, good. We're going to put all these things together. Next halacha. So here you can turn to the board. We have two cases over here. Case number one, and this question comes up actually all the time. Just last week, someone asked me, two people really asked me a variation of this question. Okay, so 10 a.m., case one on the board, 10 a.m., I cut meat with my onion. No, I don't cut meat with my onion. I cut meat with my fleishig knife. It's hot meat, slee, good. So my meat, my knife, obviously became fleishik at this point. 2 p.m., I cut an onion. So the halacha, obviously, we know is that onion will be treated as fleishiks. Still no problem. Now, at 11 a.m., the next day, I cut my lasagna. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? Why is this a shaila? Maybe I'll say the following. When I cut the onion at 2 p.m., so at that point, we know that it's Mechal Yalei L'Shvach, and the clock starts again. And therefore, when I cut the lasagna, it's within 24 hours of cutting the onion. It's more than 24 hours from cutting the meat, but it's within 24 hours of cutting the onion. And therefore, since every time you cut an onion, it's Mechal Yalei L'Shvach, so the clock should start again. It's Ki'ilu when I cut the onion, it's like I cut meat again. Right, that's the chiddush of davar charif after all. You might have said that, and therefore the clock starts again at 11 a.m. In Memela, when I cut my lasagna, it's within 24 hours of cutting the equivalent of meat, and therefore the lasagna is treif. That's what one might say. However, the shach is mekel, Where's the shach, simen, sif, simen kufchav beis, sif katan beis? A lot of these halachos come up in simen kufchav beis, which are the dinim of nosi and tamlef gam. So the nekudas akasef, not this time by the shachsan, as well as the Dagol Mirvava, Tanyana over there, all jump on the Shach. The Shach, the Ben HaShach argued with the Tate. Why? Said, well, Pitom, we know that the halacha is that when you cut davar, when you cut an onion with a fleshig knife, right, it's ki'ilu, you cut meat. How do I know that? Because we don't apply nap bar nat. We don't treat the meat, we don't treat it, we don't say it goes down a darga. Right, or let's say tznon shechatcha b'tzaken shelbasar. So we don't say, oh, that's not barnat. The knife is tam rishon, the tznon is tam sheni. No, we don't apply not barnat for davar charef. Rather, we imagine as though everything is ben yomo. We imagine as though kilu it's cutting meat. So when I cut that onion at what time? At 2 p.m., it's like I cut a piece of meat at that point. And therefore, the clock should start again. That's the shaila that the son of the shach asks. And moreover, now what about the next case? What about the next case? The next case, case two over here, is Monday, 10 a.m., I cut a piece of meat. Tuesday, 2 p.m., I cut onions. So now, at that point, what's the halacha of those onions? We treat them as fleishiks, right? Even though it's 24 hours from the time we cut the meat, that's what we saw last simon, it's mechayel el shvach, great. Now, at 11 a.m., the next day, within 24 hours of cutting the onion, I cut milk again, I cut my lasagna. What's the halacha? So, if you held of the son of the shach and the Dagol Mirvava, what would I have said? I would have said, okay, it's treif, same thing, right? The clock starts again when you cut the onions. And that might be the opinion, perhaps the Magen Avraham would hold that. The problem, though, is in this case that the Isser V'Heter is Mekel. The Isser V'Heter is cited by that Shach. The Isser V'Heter is Mekel in case two. Now, what does that show you? It shows you, seemingly, that when you cut an onion, we don't just say the clock starts again, even though we would treat the onion as not being nosi and tam lefgam. Now, what the son of the shach says is, you see from the Isser V'Heter that the shach was wrong. Why? Because if case two was mutter, if case one was mutter, then Isser V'Heter should have said a bigger chiddush. Why did the Isser say the case of case two say case one? Elamai, you see the shach's wrong from the Isser V'Heter that he himself quotes. Now, the problem with that opinion is, well, if the shach is wrong about case one, the Isser V'Heter should also be wrong about case two. Because again, once you think logically that when you cut the knife, when you cut the onion with the fleshig knife, the clock starts again and everything starts from scratch, so you should be machmir in case one and two. You see, the problem is that the machmirim against the shach are being inconsistent. If you want to be machmir in case one, you should be machmir in case two. But the Nekudas HaKesef is saying we're going to be machmir in case one, but mekel in case two. What's the logic? So it's not so clear what the logic is. That's probably why the shach thought that they were the same. And the shach, if you would have asked the shach, aye, but the Isser V'Heter should say bigger chiddush, he would say, hee. It's really the same thing. In a chinami. But what do the Ben HaShach say? What does the Nekudas HaKesef say? So he has to say that, well, there's actually a difference. When it's still ben yomo, it's mamish kilu, it's basar. When it's eno ben yomo, so then we see it as not being basar, mamish. But again, that's a chiluk that's not at all intuitive why it should be case. But there's the two extreme positions that are very logical. If you were to say you're machmir in both positions, I understand. But the Nekudas HaKesef and the Dagol Mirvava's position is very difficult to justify. But at the same time, we have to go back and explain the shach. Why is the shach, assuming we accept the shach, right? Which we'll see many poskim do accept the shach lemaisa. Assuming we accept the shach, why is he right? What about the kasha of the Nekudas HaKesef and the Dagol Mirvava? Why don't we say that when I cut the onion at 2 p.m. in case one, so then the clock starts again? So The Shach seems to be merames to the basis of the Kula, when he sends you to Simon Sadi Dalet, Sifkan Chav Beis, and what he probably means, as the Evan HaOzer explains, the Evan HaOzer is in the Sadi Vav, our Simon, Sadi Vav Sif Gimel. The Evan HaOzer explains that the logic of the Shach is as follows. It's quite simple. We have here a case of not bar not. Why? Well, very simple. We'll go from meat to knife, that's Tam Rishon. Now, knife to onion, well, that should be Tam Sheni, but we know that's not true, because the whole Chiddush of Tznon Shechatcho Besak and Shel Basar says that when we go from knife to onion, this is still considered, doesn't go down a darga. So we're going to treat the onion as Tam Rishon. Doesn't go down a darga, just like the knife was Tam Rishon, the onion was Tam Rishon. Question is, what happens when you... Oh, you know what? I skipped a case. Sorry. We'll get back to this case in a second. The Evan HaOzer is actually talking about a slightly different case that's going to be relevant to here. The Evan HaOzer is actually arguing on the Magen Avraham. What does the Magen Avraham say? So hold this case for one moment in your mind, and we're going to get to the case of the Magen Avraham, and then we'll go back to here. So the Magen Avraham, for your knowledge, is Simen Tav Nun Aleph, Sif Katan Lamed Aleph. And the case is the following. Let's say I did the following. I cooked at a fleshik pot. Okay, I cooked an onion in that. No, let's do a different thing. Sorry. Let's say I had a fleshik knife. Okay, I cut the onion with a fleshik knife. I cook that onion in a parev pot. Does that pot become fleshik or remain parev? So the Magen Avraham says that the pot becomes fleishiks. That's the whole chiddush. Remember, what is our whole chiddush here? Tznon shechatcho besach and shalbasa. When I cut a tznon with a fleishik knife, it's ki'ilu, the tznon is a piece of meat, right? It doesn't go down a darker. We don't say not bar not. So therefore, when I cut my onion with a fleishik knife, it's like the knife is a piece of meat. If I then cook that meat, that onion in a fleishik pot, then the pot is balua meat. The pot is now balua meat, and now if I cook something else, if I cook milchiks, it'll be basar b'chalav, right? So therefore the Magen Avraham says, my pot has just become fleishiks. Again, I take a cut an onion with a fleishik knife, and then I throw it in a parv pot. My pot is now fleishiks. That's what the Magen Avraham says, and it seems to make a lot of sense. So there are two objections you could raise to this Magen Avraham. One is raised by the Evan HaOzer in our Simon, the other by the Chavos Das, also in our Simon. What's the objection to of the Magen Avraham, of the Evan HaOzer? The Evan HaOzer says this should be not bar not. Why? So let's do the case again. Meat to knife, so the knife is Tam Rishon, right? Knife to onion, what's the onion? Also Tam Rishon, right? The Chiddush of Davar Harif is it doesn't go down to Tam Sheni like it normally would. Knife Tam Rishon. Good. So the onion is going to be Tam Rishon. Onion to frying pan. What's the halacha? So there we don't have the Chiddush of Tznon Shechatcho V'Sak and Shel Basar. And therefore claims Evan HaOzer. There's no basis to say here we're not going to go down the Darga. So the frying pan is going to be Tam Sheni Shel Hatcher. Which basically means it's still parva. It's basically still parva. So says the Evan HaOzer will apply not bar not. Yes, it's true that the onion became fleishiks. Yes, it's true we're going to treat the onion as tam rishon shel basar. But the onion doesn't make the pot tam rishon shel basar. So the pot will be tam sheni shel hetter, which is again more or less parva. Certainly on a b'dievid level, it's going to be parav, right? So that's the chiddush of the Evan HaOzer. Now, if that's right, so now we could also understand the shach. What's the pshat in the shach? The pshat in the shach is that, yes, Again, what was the case over there? I went ahead and cut meat at 10 a.m., right? And then within 24 hours, after 24 hours, I used that same thing to cut milk. Well, who's to say that the cutting of the onion in the middle starts the clock again? Ki'ilu, this is mamish basar. Just like the Eben Ozer said that the onion that was cut with the flesh of a knife is not like mamish basar, and therefore memela, when it goes into the frying pan's tam sheni shel heter. So too, over here, when it's eino ben yomo, so it should be mutter, just like not bar nat. That's the Eben, that's what we could say, why using the logic of the Eben Ozer to explain the shach in Siman Kuf Chaf Beis. Now, there's another reason to argue with this Magen Avraham, and that's the reason that the Chavos Das mentions. What is the Chavos Das say? The Chavos Das says, he agrees with the Eben Ozer, and he says, moreover, there's another Kula. What's the Kula? Ein Balo Yosef Lo Rotev. How so? Again, you took a fleshig knife, you cut the onion. Great. Now, is there a way for the onion to be no Saint Tom into the frying pan? So the truth is, in a frying pan, there's oil, it might be rotev. Let's take a slightly different case. Same idea. I cut an onion in half with a fleshig knife, and then, this is the case that somebody asked me last week, they cut their knife in half, onion in half with a fleshig knife, they put half of it in the fridge, then a little later they took it out, and they cut the rest with a power of knife. So now they wanted to know, does their power of knife become fleshigs? So according to the Magen Avraham, what's the answer? Absolutely, right? Because their onion is like a piece of meat, right? And therefore, if they cut their charef tikka meat with a power of knife, their power of knife has now just turned fleshigs. But not so, according to Eben Ozer. And also not so, according to Chavos Das. Why? Ein ba lo yotzei ba lo rotev. This onion is balua b'tam basar, right? But could it be pole tam basar into the knife? Only with rotev. There's no rotev here. When you cut your fleshig knife with fleshig onion with your parv knife, is there any rotev? No, no rotev. So therefore, your knife remains parv. So your knife would remain parv for two reasons. A, not bar not. That's the Eben Ozer, would be tam sheni shel heter. B, because ein ba lo yotzei ba lo rotev. So how do we paskin? So again, this shaila comes up also a lot in blenders. Let's say what happens is somebody goes ahead, they cut an onion with a fleshig knife, and then they throw it into their blender. They want to make potato kugel, right? So they throw it into their blender. Same question, does their blender become fleshig? According to Magen Avraham, yes. According to Eben HaOzer and Chavos Das, no. Right? So this question could come up with frying pans, like we just said, with blenders, with knives, all these questions. So how do we poskim? So I think most poskim are lenient. The Davar Charif writes that basically, if you can, the very helpful sefer on this whole simon is the sefer Davar Charif. So he writes that if you could easily kosher it, you should. So let's say in the case of the blender, if you could easily, you could probably pretty easily do Haggalah on the blades of a blender, so probably it's worthwhile to do Haggalah on the blades of the blender. But if you can't kosher it easily, let's say for the frying pan case, so then one could be somich on the mekilim, and you wouldn't have to be choshesh for the opinion of the Magen Avraham. Fine. So, yeah.
What's the svar of the Magen Avraham? If I were to cook something in basar, we would only say the balu of in basar, not that it's a chavos.
You mean, how do you get rid of the chavos das's question or the Eben Ozer's
question? The
chavos das's question, I don't know. But that's what I told you at the beginning, that that it seems, and again, maybe you even have a raya from the Tur and from Rashi to that effect, right? When they're machmir by the meducha they used for chametz, that just like we don't apply the rules of not barnat and eino ben yomo to davar charif, maybe we don't apply this rule as well. And the reason is it's kilu, it comes to chaticha shel basar. Now that's a big chiddush. I don't know why.
It would make it like traditional, but it wouldn't make it like magic.
It's a big chiddush. I can't, it's very hard for me to defend. I agree. The Chavos Das's view seems to make a lot more sense. But again, maybe you have a shtickle raya that you don't say that from Rashi and from the Tur that are machmir l'gabei chametz by the meducha. Again, unless you assume that the pshat is no, that the charif makes the bread into charif itself, which then goes directly in. But if you don't say that, so then you have a raya for the Magen Avraham. A raya from Shas I don't have, because you don't really see that in the whole makor from Shas from that din. The makor from Shas is the case of that you need to do Hagalah on the Beisor, on the bowl that was used for yeast. So there, the raya from Shas you don't really have. But the raya, but I think the Pashtus in the Tur and Rashi does sound a little bit like the Magen Avraham. Okay. So let's just review some of the basic cases of Kalim and the new cases that we've done today, Kalim and Davar Charif, and then we'll go on. So case number one, meat plus onion in a blender. So there we say that we're machmir. We would treat the blender as fleishiks. Case two, you cook meat in a fleishik pot, and then within 24 hours, you cooked onion in that fleishik pot, and then within 24 hours you cooked milk. So in that case, the shach is and the Evan Haozer are mekel, and the Dagel Mervava and the son of the shach are machmir. Case number three, a onion that was cut with a fleishik knife and then cut with a pariv knife. What's the halacha of the pariv knife? According to the Magen Avraham, your pariv knife just became fleishiks. And again, according to the Evan Ozer and the Chavos Das and the Prima Gadim, I think as well, then your knife remains pariv. And there again, we're makel. Maybe wait 24 hours, but mikra din we're makel in that shayla. And finally, case number four, you have a knife, you have an onion that was cut with a fleishig knife and then was cut with a milchig knife. And again, according to the Magen Avraham and the Evan HaOzer, the knife basically just became treif. And according to the Chavos Das, it would be pariv. Right? The knife would still be pariv. And again, here too, probably you would say lechatchila to kasha the knife if you could easily. Okay. Once we're on the topic of maduchas, right, so just remember, we'll get to it next year, but the chumrah of the Taz and Sadi's Ayin Aleph, if you saw it yet, that it's usher to have a fleishig maducha, at least if it was once parv. Okay. The next question we have to deal with is when you cut a davar charif, how far into the blios go? In other words, I have a fleishig knife and I cut an onion. How deep into the onion do those fleishig blios go? So here we have three opinions in the Rishonim. Again, the Gemara wasn't clear. The Gemara said, "Snon shechatcho b'sakin shel basar aser la'achlo b'kutach." Well, how much is aser la'achlo b'kutach? So the Rush says, only a klipa. Why? Just like, now we saw already in Machlokes about Sli, how far in Sli goes, but usually when you don't have Bishul, things don't go in more than a Klipa. So here too, it should only go in a Klipa. The Ravid and the Ra'ah say, no, Natila, just like Sli. And finally, the Rashba says, no, the Gemara doesn't sound like it's just Natila, it sounds like Kulo. Right? It says, Asher lo'achlo b'kutach. It doesn't say you cut off a Natila and then you could eat your Tznon b'kutach. And therefore, says the Rashba, the entire onion becomes fleishiks. So three opinions. Klipa, netila, kulo. How do we paskin? We follow the middle road, and the mechaber follows the middle road, kedei netila. However, the Rama writes that lechatchila you should be machmir lesser kulo. But b'diavad, a netila is enough. So it sounds like everybody agrees mikra din netila is enough, but lechatchila, the Ramah writes, you should be machmir for shita sarashba. Now, here's a very interesting question. This is a question that comes up many times through Yaradeya. How do you define diavad? Right? When we say something is mutter, b'diavad, asr lechatchila, how would you find b'diavad? So I would have thought that this means like this. If I cut the tznon with a fleishig knife, so don't eat the entire tznon with dairy, right? Because that's already lechatchila, eat it with parif. However, let's say it was a treif knife, right? So I would say, okay, there it's b'diavad. So I don't have to throw out the whole tznon. I'll cut off the netila, throw that in the garbage, or give it to a guy, and the rest I'll eat, because b'diavad, I don't have to throw it out. But the shach doesn't say that. The shach in Sifkat and Yud says, no, in that too, b'diavad, you have to throw out your whole tznon. That's still b'geder l'chatchila. What does b'diavad mean? B'diavad means that I cooked it in something else. So there, we only have to be choshesh b'chdei netila. You don't have to say that the whole thing becomes aser, at least al tchanan, and you need shishim k'neged kulo. No, treat it as though only one netila became aser. That's what the shach says. Again, a very interesting chiddush, that b'diavad in this case means already misbasho, and not everybody accepts this. If you look at Rabbi Kiva Eger, he quotes a Minchas Yaakov as saying no. If you already cut it with the sakin shalisser, that too is b'diavad. And the Chachmas Adam is mekel halacha, like the against the shach, like the Minchas Yaakov. It's in Simen Mem Tes Oz Beis. He writes that a mi shemekel v'nechtach v'sakin shal iser, to just take off a netila, so is lo hifsid. And we already mentioned that the Ramah sort of accepts this as well. He writes that if you need to buy your cut harif vegetables from the bodega, right? They don't sell, you want to buy chrein, and they only sell them in the treif bodegas. So if you have no other place to buy it, it's enough to cut off a netila, and then the rest would be okay. Fine. Okay, the next question is the cutting board. We already alluded to this question. What's the halacha? If I go ahead, let's say I take an onion and I cut it with a fleishig knife on a parif cutting board. This happens all the time. So does my cutting board become fleishig? The knife, zecher, became fleishig. Good. But what about the cutting board? Maybe the cutting board should also become fleishig. So that is the view of the Chachmas Adam. It's Nun Vav, the Sifkatan base, writes that you should treat now your parv cutting board as fleishig. Why? Because there's dochka de sakina. L'chora, what he means to say is the following. Just like we said at the beginning of today's shir, that you see from the fact that we're machmir for dochka de sakina by maducha, that any time there's pressure, there's significant pressure, we're choshish for dochka de sakina, it's not just the knife. So there's significant pressure on the cutting board, right? There's probably equal pressure on the cutting board than there is on the vegetable going in the other direction or something like that, right? There's, yeah? No? Opposite? Goes up, down? Something? How much pressure is on the cutting board? Okay, a lot. Okay, good. That's what the Chachmas Adam says. Fine. Now, to me, this was a very big chiddush. Why? Because still, how does it work? How does it work? When does it happen? So let's imagine that the cutting board becomes fleishig at the completion of the penetration of the knife. Meaning, say, I'm taking my knife, I'm chopping through the onion. I finish going through the knife. Now my knife hits the cutting board, right? It's at that moment of impact between the knife and the cutting board that the cutting board becomes fleishig. So one second, at that point, I'll say, en balo yotib lorotev. I say, naniach, that there's a ton of dochak. But the blios are in the knife. Ein balua in the knife, right? Ein balua yotze mekli al kli, below rotev. So how do the blios in the knife got into the cutting board? And moreover, I'll tell you, at that point anyway, the charif is gone, right? Because I've already gone all the way through the knife, all the way through the onion. There's no more charif anymore. So maybe you'll have to say, okay, it happens one moment, one instant before the knife fully penetrates the onion. So at that last moment, now you have charif. You have davar charif, but still ein balo yosib lo rotev. Naniach that it makes the onion fleishiks, but how does it get from the onion into the cutting board? So I'm not sure, I have to investigate it more, but it seems like this whole chumra is based off of the assumption that you don't say like the chavos das, and we're not concerned about balua yote below rotev. Right, we don't say in balua yote mikli al kli below rotev in this case. Is anyone mako? So...
This is in mikli al kli.
It is, because it's from the knife to the cutting board.
There's that small little tiny bit of onion at the bottom.
But so then it's ochel al kli below rotev. Okay, so fine, sorry. It's either may kli al kli below rotev, or it's may balua ochel al kli below rotev, both of which we normally don't say. So again, it seems to me that this chumra must be based off of the fact that those rules are suspended over here for dar bachar, which again, we see some precedent for it. Right, we saw that precedent in the Magen Avraham, maybe in the Torah and Rashi, but it's a big chiddush. The Darkei Tshuva quotes someone as being Mekel, I don't remember who. I think the Aruch HaShulchan might be Mekel as well. And in Sefer Davar Charef, Perek Aleph Ha'aron Nun Zayin, he quotes Rav Elyashiv, at least in the case of Isser, as being Mekel. At least b'diavad. Both in b'diavad, one could definitely be make. I don't know, definitely, but I think there's makom gadol l'hakal. No, you could kasher your cutting board.
Really?
Why not? I mean, not. It's, go ahead and put it in an aluminum pan, and do hagala. I don't think it's impossible. So at least with the Avet, I think there's Makom L'Hakel. I'm not sure. I'm not sure beyond that. Again, the Chaf Masadim is Machmir. But according to the Cheshbon, we said there should be Makom Gadol L'Hakel, assuming we accept that Chavos Das. Fine. So the next very interesting Shaila is false teeth. Oh. What's the Shaila? False teeth. So I go ahead, and false teeth should be like a maducha, right? So in my mouth, I'm eating onions and meat, right? We do that occasionally. And you chew them together. And so now my false teeth should become fleishiks. For that matter, maybe my teeth should become fleishiks. Okay, good Shaila. Okay, but let's imagine false teeth, because false teeth, okay, there. Ribono Shel Olam said the teeth aren't balaya. Fine. But, so maybe an achinami. But let's say your false teeth are made out of porcelain. Ah, porcelain, that's like the worst. Exactly. So now, my false teeth should become fleishiks. And now I go ahead and I have milchiks with the davar charif. Now I have bas b'chalav in my mouth. So there's a tshuva from the Rav Avadi Yosef, Yabi Omer Chela Gimel or Chaim Simen Chav Dalet, who deals with this issue. He says, Taka, this would seem to be a big problem. And Agav, I think my grandmother was Machmir. She had separate teeth for milchiks and fleishiks.
What is the difference between harifas? Is it docha?
It's docha plus harifas, yeah.
It's the same docha.
It's like, we'll get there, don't worry. So, Rav Avadia says that this is much more of a problem than like hot things. Because hot things, there's much more room to be mako. First of all, most time you drink, it's not even yatzel adispo. Okay, even if it is, you know, my grandmother's European, Mestama, she drinks tea at yatzel adispo. Okay, but it's a klisheni, right? It's iwi klisheni. Most people aren't drinking from a klivishon. So, what?
It's cooked better.
Right, no, she's saying, but let's fleishiks. I have fleishik chicken soup, and then I have milchiks coffee. So maybe I should be concerned that when I drink my milchiks coffee, my coffee becomes, Milchik's coffee is yatza lettuce bo, my fleishik chicken soup is yatza lettuce bo. As I drink it, it becomes basa b'chalav, derabbanan. Maybe that should be concerned. But, I'm sorry?
Microwave
is not yours. Okay, so, no. My grandmother didn't use a microwave. So he says that in terms of that issue, there's much more room for leniency. You're dealing with a klisheni, and usually it's not yad zeledes bo. So the bigger problem with davar charif is going to be with davar charif, both for bas b'chalav and even more for Pesach, right? Pesach, you have to kasher your teeth. Maybe you need four sets of false teeth. Or maybe people don't have milchiks on Pesach, so you only need three. I don't think my grandmother ate milchiks on Pesach. I guess she probably drank coffee, but she didn't have matzah and cream cheese, remarkably. So that's Rav Avadya's tshuva question. So it gives your answer. It says, Mikol makom yesh lechalek ben dochka de maducha ledochka she'al yedei hashinayim b'le'isa. To me, that was a very schwer answer, because if you've ever put your mouth in a baby's, your fingers in a baby's mouth, you'll see that there's quite a lot of dochka in a mouth. I mean, it succeeds in like mushing up into a pulp some of the hardest things in the world. It's a lot of dochka. Then he writes, "Umikol shekein sheharofim heidu shechachomer shenasa mimenu hashinayim hatotvos." The scientists told us that the things, the material of which the false teeth are made out of are not bolei or maflet. Now that's a chiddush, because maybe if you hold like that, then all of we should use one set of kalim, because the same scientists will also tell you that there's not going to be much bleos in equally small amounts of bleos in stainless steel. Okay. But then he's Mayrechan and Emanus Harofim. But that's basically what he says. And then he says, Ve'ein Sorech Bahagala for Pesach, Mikomako Machmir, Bahem Lagilam, Olaru Salem, Klivishon Tavala Bracha. But if somebody wants to be Machmir for Pesach, they should kasher their false teeth. So my wife, when she was a little girl, she got a retainer, so she asked the Rav for Shul. Rabbi Reisman, does she have to kasher her retainer for Pesach? And Reisman said, yeah, you should do Hagala or Iroi, she doesn't remember. But she did whatever he said.
Maybe not with your retainer.
And I don't know, maybe she didn't keep the rules.
Very
I don't know, we'll ask her the Shaila. Anyway, so it broke the retainer. Her orthodontist was very upset. So be careful before you try kashering your retainer after speaking to your Rav, or maybe before speaking to your Rav, speak to your orthodontist. At least that way, if he like signs off on it, then maybe you won't have to pay for it if it breaks. Anyhow, but he says, Basar b'chalav ein sarach lahachmir b'zeh klal, ela lahasridim asher korei ha-misnahagim b'chasidus. So my grandmother was a chasid. Grandfather was a chassid, he didn't have false teeth, but they were chassidim. As he points out, nobody's ever been machmir for fillings, right? Even the Chachmas Adam, who says that fillings are chatzitza, didn't say that they become bas b'chalav. So Ravadi says, well, maybe ain't done in efshar mi efshar, you could do it. But in the end of the day, for whatever the reason is, we are mako. Same thing. Braces would be the same shaila. But as I said, braces are much less of a shaila because you don't have the charif shaila. It's just the hot shaila, no? You don't use there's no docha de sakin on the braces.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, sometimes people have this ring around the back teeth.
Uh-huh.
So there could be docha go there.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that would be the same thing. Right. Braces will be no different than fillings. And fillings, you ramish have docha de sakin, right? And we're still mako. So nice, everybody is it's an interesting midas chasidus to be machmir, but and it's not actually so clear why one could be mako, but I think we are mako. Also, it could be that there isn't so much charif in your mouth, meaning to say, especially my grandmother, what is she eating that was really a davar charif? So again, you know, depends who you are. Some people do there's a raw onion in your salad at the same time. Borscht. I had a lot of borscht, but her borscht was definitely not davar charif. I don't know what was going on in the borscht in the Pesach Tshuva. but the borscht that I've tasted from my grandmother was not a charif. Yeah.
I go back to the cutting board.
Yeah.
If it were to become plaship, the issue would be that then if you were to subsequently cut another onion, even with a pyre knife that you're cutting into the dairy, it would then be bullet from the board.
I mean, then you'd get back to the other things, but yes, that would happen.
I mean, the same dough could be bullet from
Two ways. If according to all the machmir, if you've put together the machmir positions, then yes, your cutting board should be able to make your create bas b'chalav. Right? A milchik cutting board that became milchik al yedei dochku d'sakina, and then a fleishig knife. Whew. Imagine how bad that would be. Okay, fine. Let's talk about some of the chilukim between davar charef by iser and basar b'chalav. So the Rama in Tzadi Vav Sif Aleph writes that if you cut a onion with a fleishig knife and you cooked it with chalav, so you won't need shishim keneged the whole onion. Rather, you would need at most shishim keneged the area of the knife that touched the onion. Why? Because there's no chanan. Very simple. What about if you used a treif knife? So then you have a problem because the knife will become chanan. So let's say I used a treif knife to cut up a whole onion into lots of pieces, and then I put that onion into a soup. So l'chora, I'll need shishim not keneged the knife, which is much smaller, but rather shishim keneged the entire onion. However, the question is, how much? So the Shach and the Rama seem to hold that you only need shishim keneged the netila. Why not kulo? So we'll say that's already part of the b'diavad. B'diavad, we only say it's a netila. Ah. But then the Shach quotes the levush. In other words, let's say you didn't chop up the onion into small pieces. You simply cut the onion in half, and you put it into your chicken soup. So again, you have a treif knife, cut the onion in half, and you put the onion into the chicken soup. Says the Rama Neshach, you only need shishim keneged the netila. Great. But the levush, as cited by the Shach, this is Simen Sarivav, Sif Katan Tes, in the Shach, is machmir, you need kulo. Why? Because iser davuk, that since you say chanan on the onion, even in the netila area, right? You're right. The tam nevela only is in the netila of the onion. But we'll say chanan, so it's kilu now, you have an onion that has a piece of iser davuk to it, right? The onion, the bottom 75% of the onion is heter, the top 25% of the onion is nevela, and we know that just like if you have, say, a kosher piece of meat with the top 25% has chelev davuk to it, so you need shishim not just keneged the chelev, but you need shishim keneged kulo, because of iser davuk. So says the levush, here too, you should need shishim keneged the entire onion, because of davuk. So how do we respond to this? So the answer seems to be that, at least the Shach and the Rama hold, that we're makel. Take a look at Rabbi Akiva Eger, how he explains it. But it sounds like we don't say two chumras together. We don't say chanan plus chanan b'chatzi chaticha plus davuk. Right? Iser davuk was a chiddush, it was a chumrah. Chanan by Shari Surin is a chumrah. And then the Shach brings up a position that we thought was totally rejected. We talked about this position at the beginning of the year, the idea that maybe you don't say chanan in a chatzi chaticha. The Arayim brought that up to explain why one klipa, let's say by tzli, one klipa doesn't aser the next klipa and asering the next klipa. So why don't we say that? So we said, oh, our lovely principle of Eina Nasar. But there was another opinion in Tosfos the Yireyim, who said, oh, we don't say Hanan by Chatzi Chatich. And that was sort of a funny position. We didn't know why exactly that would be. And we sort of forgot about it, and we didn't think it was so important, l'halacha. But all of a sudden, here in Siman Sadi Vav, that position makes a comeback. And we don't say Hanan by Chatzi Chaticha, by Shari Surin, in conjunction with the Chumrah of Isser Davuk, to require Shishim Keneged the whole onion, and therefore you'd only need Shishim Keneged the Netila. However, just one second, however, the onion itself will remain Aser. Why? Because then it's only one chumrah. Then it's only, because then it's not just Isser Davuk, right? Let's say there was Shishim Kenegdo. So would you be able to cut off the bottom of the onion and eat it? No, that would still be Aser. That's only one chumrah. That's just the chumrah. So we don't combine two chumras, but we would combine, that's just, we would combine one chumrah. Or, that's not a combination, yeah.
Why is it only one chumrah?
Because then you don't need, then it's just Isser Davuk.
Well, that's depends on how much.
Because, I mean, unless you're going to also the entire thing, you shouldn't be Isser.
We'll assume that there, I think as Ricky Vega says, maybe that we don't assume that it spreads equally throughout the entire pot, in other words. So therefore, the piece, the onion itself, let me see if I wrote that down. One second. Uh-huh. Right. No, he says that's just Isser Davuk. You don't even need Hanan there.
You
don't have Shishim in the onion. You have Shishim in the pot.
But in that case, so then...
Because even a Mechaber would say over there that the knife, okay, onion's Aser. Right? Even without Hanan by Shari Surin. Okay. Rav Eger, Prima Gadim, parenthetically, says you should even be more makel, because the whole Ran says that we don't say the basis for Hanan by Shari Surin. If we follow the view of the Ran, so there's no Hanan by, we don't say Hanan where it wouldn't be Deoraisa, if it were Basar B'chalav, and it's not Derech Bishol. So he questions whether you even have to be as Machmir as the Ramah is Machmir. Yeah. Okay, good. So, I'll just tell you what Shaila we're not going to do now, since we did it already, but just to remind you, is the issue of Esrei L'Sochto. If this onion was cooked in the pot, would you say that the onion itself could then become mutter after it was cooked? So that was the famous tshuva of the Maram Milublin, the kula of the Maram Milublin, the Shach and Simen Tzadi Dalet Sifkatan Chav Gimel, and the Taz over here, Tzadi Vav Sifkatan Hay, are makel, that if you cut an onion with a fleishig knife and then you cooked it with chalav, so if there's shishim, so then you could also eat the onion. We saw two ways actually to read that, right? Rabbi Kiva Eger versus everybody else. But the majority, many thought that even the whole onion could be mutter in that case. And we discussed why that would be. So why we don't apply the normal rule of Efshel Sochto here. Okay. Since we've been talking about Davar Charif for a while, maybe it behooves us to figure out what constitutes as a Davar Charif. So, you'd think like, there must be like hundreds of pages of that in the Sefer Davar Charif. What is a Charif? Actually, not so much. So what is a Davar Charif? So first of all, if you take a look at the Pischei Tshuva, Sifkan Dalet, he writes, Hakol lefi ra'os einei hachacham. Now, I'm not a chacham, but I would have thought, so very simple. So you go ahead and you taste it and you see, does it seem charif or not? And if I were being asked, you know, what constitutes a davar charif, I would have said, well, if most people eat this food without any type of sweetening or the like, then it would be mutter. So if you asked me, is a pineapple a davar charif, I would say, well, yeah, most people eat pineapples plain, and therefore a pineapple isn't charif. Onions, most people won't eat a plain onion. Lemons, there's some people that will eat a plain lemon. Most people won't eat a plain lemon. So an onion and a lemon, that's davar charif. Maybe you could clear about a grapefruit, because some people, they put sugar on their grapefruits. Okay, so maybe we'll call a grapefruit a davar charif. But a pineapple, yeah, it's pretty acidic. It is a strong, sharp flavor, but a normal person eats it. So if you eat it, that's not davar charif. That's what I would have thought. But l'chor, it's not so pashut. Why? Because a tznon is not particularly charif. If anybody's eaten radishes, they'll see radishes aren't like onions or lemons. They're actually quite weak. In fact, going back to my grandparents, every Friday night with the chicken soup, they would have reitach, which is cut up radishes. And you'll say, ah, there are two types of radishes, the black radishes and the red radishes. They would have both. So does that mean that so clearly, you know, my intuition about what charif is isn't so pashut. So maybe it'll be docha the raya. Why? Because they sprinkled salt on the radishes. So the salt was mematik the radishes a little bit. So maybe they wouldn't just eat plain radishes. Okay, not sure, but we'll get out of that. But then it gets even worse, because you read on in the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara, and it tells you silka is a charif. Now what's silka? So most people assume silkas are beets. Now beets are not particularly charif. In fact, if you like open up a can of cooked beets, they're one of the most bland foods you'll ever taste. It's like a potato. So where is that? So the truth is, and even a raw beet is not particularly sharp. Nobody eats raw beets, but if you taste them. So the Prima Gadol says, oh, actually, we don't know what a silka is. You've always assumed that silka. Now, Rashi writes in Brachos that silka is a tradin. But apparently then we don't know what silka or tradin is. I've heard from Revilson also, we don't know what a silka is. Okay, so radishes you put salt on, and there goes that raya, and beets, and silkas aren't beets, who knows what they are. Some say that that silka draws out the tam, the rashba, not because of its harifus, but some other magical quality of silkas that they draw out the tam, the moshech tam, so you can't bring a raya from silka either. Okay, so then, and just a raya that, like, my intuition is totally wrong, so the Shach writes that lemons are less charif than tznones. Now, unless there's been a significant change in the lemons or the radishes from the days of the Shach to our days, I would have told you the exact opposite. I would say that a radish is a lot more bland than a lemon. So again, further proof that saying hakol lefi ra'os enei amora is not so pashut, because again, my intuition for all these things seems to be very off. And then, just to prove even further that from that shach, that we really have no idea what's going on, is the shach seems to have no idea what was going on, because he starts talking about olives. And he's saying, well, olives are either much more charif or much less charif than radishes. So, I don't think he's talking about two different types of olives. So, it sounds like from the Shach that the Shach himself was saying that, you know, we have to like deal with what the poskim said, and we'll try to miyashiv everything afterwards. It's very hard to start trusting yourself on this type of question when the Shach tells you that something is either more or less, but he's not sure. It's something else. So maybe that sort of leaves us with a lot of uncertainty. So what do the poskim say? So the poskim seem to say basically the following rule, and I'll give you some more details. But basically, if it's very charif, if it's in the poskim, in other words, a certain min is described by the poskim as charif, so we'll follow what the poskim say. So even if our intuition might be that it's known isn't charif, obviously halach l'maisa, if you start cutting a radish with a fleishig knife, certainly the stronger types of radishes we would treat it as charif. And if it's something that's not mentioned by the poskim, but it's clearly very sharp, you couldn't eat it easily or normally. I don't know if the poskim mentioned jalapenos, but it's obvious that that will be a davar charif. The question is going to be something that's charif ktsas, but not mentioned in poskim. Maybe the sharp pineapple would be an example of that. So here, or maybe a grapefruit, something like that. So it seems like the poskim are willing to be makel b'makom hafseid if it's eno ben yomo. Why does eno ben yomo help? Because it's true that we are machmir for charif even when it's eno ben yomo, but as you recall, there are a lot of tzadim to say not that way. So if you cut your pineapple with an eno ben yomo knife, then b'makom hafseid, you could continue to treat it as parv. Let's say you cooked your pineapple and your chicken or the like. Of course, your chicken's probably also fleishiks, but your parv chicken. Fine. So so the poskim do give a number of examples. We saw in the Ramah here that chrein is definitely charif. We seem to assume that lemons are charif, though the Shach says maybe not so much. The Rashba writes that an esrog is a charif. In Shulchan Aruch Tzadi Vav Beis, it says dag maluach is charif. But the Shach, Sif Katan Tezayin, writes that's only when it's meluchim me'od, and you could be maker with greda. The Shach in Simen Samach Tes Sif Katan Lamed Ches writes that vinegar is charif. But as we talked about last time with vinegar, maybe their vinegars were stronger than ours. Our vinegars are relatively weak. But still, we probably vinegar on its own, we would say, is charif, right? You can't, like, drink vinegar. The Ramban in Psachim on Daf Beis says that wine is considered charif. The Rashba disagrees. The Magen Avraham talks about this in Taf Mem Zayin Sifkat Chaf Ches, that yayin shalanu eino charif kolkach v'dino kitapuchim chamutzim, which we'll talk about in a moment. Schnapps is definitely charif. Peppers are charif. Zangvil, ginger is charif. That's the Shach in our Simen Sifkat Yedzayin. The Shach in Sadi Hei Sifkat Chaf Hei writes that salt is charif. Then we have this category of charifim ktsas, like tapuchim chamutzim. So the Shulchan Aruch in Tzadi Vav Beis writes that tapuchim chamutzim are charif, sour apples, but the Taz writes from the Yisr V'Heter that they're not charif, and the Taz Sifkatan Tes is machriya, that you should be machmir, but b'diavet eno ben yomo, b'makom hafsid, you could be meiko. And that's why I said that that's where this idea comes from these cases that are uncertain, you could sort of, it's unclear whether they're charif, so we'll say what the Taz says, which is Eino ben yomo, b'makom hafsid, you could be makel. The Mishnah Berurah actually is a little more machmir. The Mishnah Berurah in Simen Taf Mem Zayin Sifkatan Pei Aleph says, he quotes the Taz as only being makel b'makom hafsid meruba. I'm not sure where, why he reads it that way. Also, we'll say that this kula, for the middle category, like tapuchim chamutzim, is only going to be for heter, because then you also could throw in the heter of not barnat. But the poskim say if it's a iser, right? Like you cut tapuchim chamutzim with an iser knife, this would be relevant for people discuss buying a salad in a non-kosher restaurant. So let's say you left out the onions. Let's say you didn't have to worry about tolayim and you knew the knives were clean and everything else. What about other types of mid-level charif things? So they put chvesa oranges in the salad or something like that. So then sour oranges. So there's not as much reason to be mako in the case of iser. What about pickles? So on the one hand are olives. So again, maybe you'd say that you could eat them on their own, right? People eat pickles straight, so clearly they're not so charif. But so therefore we're going to treat them as anything you could eat straight that's sharp as charif ktsas. That's what, again, the poskim seem to say. And therefore, again, l'chatchila or machmir, b'diavet eino ben yomo would be aser. So let's say the following, shayla. You go ahead and you stab a pickle with a fleishig, a fork. So I'm assuming that there's dolkut sakin and forks as well. There's no reason why it should be limited to knives. So now that pickle became fleishigs, even if stam kli eno ben yomo, but we said shelo b'makom hesed, we're going to be machmir. And therefore, if that pickle then slips back out of the fork and back into the bottle, you should probably find it if you want to eat the rest of the pickles with milk. You want to say maybe it's a yavish b'yavish, it should be batal.
Yavish
b'yavish. Chad b'trei.
The stolen bread. The jar.
No, the pickles.
The pickles. So in other words, among the pickles. 1 out of 10 pickles here are fleishigs. But l'chori, you could find it.
The color sure.
Right, A will be quick. Let's say, okay, you want to empty out all the liquid. Or in kavush, maybe the shishim keneged, the area that was stabbed by the fork. In other words, there's for sure shishim in the brine keneged, that small stab area. But still, you know, it's not so pasha to apply bitel yavish b'yavish here, because it's afshe levaver. In other words, if you look, you could probably find the pickle with the holes in it. So I don't know if that's a good kula. So I would think that you should, I would have thought that you should try to get the pickle out of there if you want to eat, keep your pickles parv. I saw that Rabbi Forst, on page 329, Ha'ara 139, has a number of studded lahakal. He thinks maybe you could be makel. Number one, stam kelamenim neyoma. Number two, according to the Ramaram, it's dafka chiltis. And even though we don't pask in that way, dvarim chamutzim, that are mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch is suffix. So you could be somech, maybe it's not even harf in the first place. And in terms of the issue of kavosh, he says, well, you could be somech on the shach, that chometz is not a din kavosh. So he writes, l'chatchila, you should be careful, but b'diavad, maybe not. One or two small points, and then I'll take the questions. What about a tavshil charif? So the Raman Sadi Hesef base told us that's only if rubo charif is it considered charif. Now, the post can say even if it's miut charif, meaning say, what does rubo charif mean? It sounds like if it's like 55% non-spices and 45% spices, so that could be a very, very strong thing. So that's not what it means. And at least the Yad Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer's Lashon in Or Chaim Siman Kuf Chaf Tes is, Kol demevatel korfayu afilu taimo nikar shuv batel chimutzo. So if it tastes very sharp, it's a very strong food, you should be machmir, basically, and treat it as charef. We've talked a lot about onions, as we mentioned before. The Pischei Tshuva writes in the Sifkat and Dalet, from the Panim Eros and others, that after onions are cooked, they are no longer charef. So Bekitzer goes like this. Things that are not mentioned in the poskim is charef. So if you can't eat it, so then it's definitely going to be charef. If you could eat it, but it has a strong taste, so like pickles, you should be machmir l'chatchila. But b'diavad eino ben yomo b'makom hefsid, you could be meiko. And if it's not at all charef, it's like it has a little taste to it, but it's not at all charef, so that you don't have to treat as charef at all. Just because you put like pepper in your kugel, you don't have to think, oh, my potato kugel is all of a sudden a davar charef. That I think that you could definitely treat as not charef at all. Okay, yeah.
Also, if you have a top shield charef, like let's say a potato kugel and tons of spices in it, is that considered to be dolka, or is that something that's soft? Or?
I would assume, yes. You're right, it's not clear what is considered, how much level of dochak is required for dolka de sakina. Maybe you would think that the snon is very hard. Truth is, though, what's interesting, one, you know, just as an example of something that's not so hard, seemingly, maybe according to others it would be, but the Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah by, let's see, the knife was dirty there, by the Eshog, so that would be Aser. I think we would be Machmir. It's hard, you're right, You could definitely make a strong case that very soft foods, there shouldn't be charif at all. And if you're cutting your pudding with your knife, no. But usually things that you need to use a knife to cut, so I think we would be choshesh for dovka de sakina.
Sorry, going back to the difference between a heter and iser, so if you cut, let's say, an onion with a actually chalav dairy knife, so everyone agree, be together, if you're then, let's say, then you're telling the stoma, you'd always have shishin with the evid.
You mean shishin connected the size of the knife?
Right.
I don't know, with stoma. You could measure and see if you do. That's what we had the kula from Rabbi Willig.
Right.
But he wasn't. But he was really. I mean, he threw that in. He thought really because his knife wasn't fleshig. I think you should measure. You know, if you look at it and you know for sure that there's shishim, so then it would be mutter. If you can't tell by looking at it, so it would be a safe chisani di. Would be dashotim. You'd have to be machmir. So it's going to depend on how big of a knife you used and how big your chalit pot is. But I don't, like, some of these cutting knives are actually quite large and thick.
Right, I imagine it would be usually smaller than the onion. You're usually better off.
It's smaller than the onion.
Right.
Usually, yeah, okay. Yeah. I would agree. You should measure it. Usually it's going to end up measuring it from the knife and not the onion when you're dealing with heter. If it's onions. Yeah.
Well, I heard anything in the post-game, so shouldn't you measure and cucumber? No, no. Well, cucumbers, kishus, they're hard to sense, according to the...
For klipa.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it does sound like that from the... we're machmir in the sense that you need to do grera for a clean knife.
So you have to do for a cucumber also?
I don't know. Why not? You're saying no. That's not true for our cucumbers. Who knows what their kishos were. But our cucumbers are... You can't possibly say that's charif ktsas. It's like... What? Exactly. There's no taste. There's no. I would think so. I would think that our cucumber, whatever, I don't know what charif ksas is for kishos, but I don't think, they must have been talking about a different type of cucumber. Maybe they were pickles. Pickled cucumbers. But it's hard to imagine why anybody would have to be machmir for our cucumbers. Who says our cucumbers are kishos?
Yeah, that the Ataz talks about Nicholas Marshall talks about herring and
herring. Okay.
And he quotes something called Mugurtis or something like that. It's pickles.
That's pickles.
Oh,
yeah.
That's pickles.
So pickled cucumbers.
Okay, so
we'll get into
pickles.
We were planning to do this before. So can you buy a salad that doesn't have an onion or?
We'll get there. First, we need to talk about watermelon. It's much easier, Shiloh, than the salad. Okay. Yeah. Running out of time, but we'll Basra Shem get there. One, before we get there, just because we're going to go in order of Shulchan Aruch, so. One minor ha'ara that we talked about in Siman Tzadi Ches that comes up over here is Timas Yisrael. So I don't want to go through the whole thing again, but just to note over here. So the Shach Sif Katan Hei writes, Hochachti b'sifrim in hashas l'lechatchila aser l'ochlo b'kutach al yedei tima. This is a very common shaila. You go ahead, you cut your radish with a fleshing knife. So now you want to eat it with kutach. So great. So let's just do Timas Yisrael. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says you could do. No problem. But the Shach writes that you shouldn't rely on it. Now, he writes a very interesting thing. He writes that this is min hashas. Now, this then cannot be the chumrah of Siman Tzadi Ches. Everybody's going to agree, the Chumra Siman Tzadi Ches, that the Ramah writes that we are not somech on Te'imas Kfela is not min hashas. What the Ramah is getting from is unclear. We saw the pilpul of the Prima Gadim and Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Raman side, lack of Bekiyas, all those things. But whatever it is in Siman Tzadi Ches, it's not min hashas. Because min hashas, it's very clear that Te'imas Kfela works. So what the Shach here is talking about has nothing to do with that. The Shach here is talking about something else, something that's min hashas. Well, where do you see min hashas that we don't rely on Te'ima? So the answer is because the Gemara writes that dagim she'alu b'kara shel basar mutal ochlan b'kutach, tznon shechatchel b'sakin shechatach bo basar aser l'ochlo b'kutach. The Shach is medayik in the Aruch Mishach that doesn't say mutter b'te'ima, says, Aser. So you see from here that even Al Yidei Te'ima it's aser. And that's al pishas. Now, what's the pshat? So the shach seems to understand that this is a special takana that they said with respect to netila. When something's aser b'chdei netila, they were misakein that it's aser, and it's eno tali b'tam. And therefore, even if you taste it and there's no tam, it's still aser l'chatchila. And he writes, this is the opinion of Chizkiya, Mishmei d'Abaye, and the whole machlokas that the Gemara had about this a little earlier hinges on this issue. It's actually a machlokas amorayim, but halalacha, we paskin like the opinion that you don't rely on ti'ima. And then the Shach writes, this isn't just my chiddush, but it's mashma this way from the Rambam, the Shar Mechabrim, who don't mention ti'ima. The Mechaber mentioned ti'ima, but the Rambam and Shar Mechabrim don't mention ti'ima. Now, this is not a very mukhrech diuk. First of all, the Rambam doesn't have to say ti'ima every single place. Moreover, to say it in the Rambam is especially strange because the Rambam doesn't even mention netila, right? The Shach's whole vart is that since it's a din in netila, so the din in netila is some type of low plug. The Rambam didn't mention netila. Now, even if you follow the Shach, this is only going to be, like we said, for tznon or for something that's netila. But if it's bishul, this won't be true. Then even the Shach would agree, l'chaora, you should be able to rely on Timas Yisrael. And that's what the Shach wrote in Simen Tzadi Ches. There, if you remember, the Shach wrote that we rely on Timas Yisrael because we paskin that you don't need an uman. And by Yisrael, there's no chash mishaker. So you should be able to rely on Ti'ima. And the Shach, in fact, over there in Simen Tzadi Ches, was medayik this way from the Ramah. It was not the most mukhrach diak in the world either, but he was medayik that from the Ramah that said you shouldn't be somechan a guy. Sounds like dafka guy you shouldn't be somechan, but you could be somechan a yid. It's not so mukhrach because Timas Yisrael isn't so common. Again, over there in Simen Tzadi Ches, we're dealing with Isser. We don't have Truma Bizman Azeh, right? So it's not the most common thing. Okay, maybe Nadara Mechveis. But that's the diak of the Shach. Now, that's the diak of the Shach. So there's no stira in the Shach. Right, at first glance, sounds like there's a stira in Shach. Sifkan Salichas, no Timas Yisrael here. Yes, Timas Yisrael here, no Timas Yisrael. The answer is no. He explains himself in the Aruch Mishach that this is a special chumrah that relates to Netila. Fine. Now, it's also a little strange that he's medayik this in the Ramah. He says, the Ramah in Taras Chatos also writes like me that l'chatchila you shouldn't be somechan ti'ima. But the problem, the Shach and over here, Simen Tzadi Vav says that. The problem with that is that if you look at the Ramah in Taras Chatos, he says a different reason. It's nothing to do with the Diak al Pishas. It says, because einanu b'kiyim. Again, the Shach tries to insert this Vart into a number of the Rambam and the Ramah and the like. It's not so clear that others hold like him. But that is the view of the Shach. As I said, the Pashup Shat in the Ramah, as the Taz notes over here, is because the Ramah's Machmir is Einanu Bekiyim. And that's probably the Pshat in Simen Tzadi Ches as well. Which is interesting also, because we saw the Achronim in Simen Tzadi Ches, and Rabbi Kivyengen and Primo Gadim all try to say Torahs and what the Pshat in the Ramah is. The Pashup Shat in the Ramah is because Einanu Bekiyim, like the Shach, like the Taz says over here. Now, the Rabbi Kiva Eger has a shtickle chap. He says like this. This vart of the Shach is only true if you assume that Snon Shachatcho Basak and Shalbasar is Kedei Netila. Right? So if you hold, but we are Machmir L'Chatchil like the Rashba, that it's Kedei Kulo. So he says, so for sure then after a Netila, you could be Sobechan Timas Yisrael. In other words, if you cut your Snon Basak and Shalbasar and you really want to eat it, with your kutach, so the netila's worth you couldn't do, but once you cut off the netila, of course use a parif knife this time, you have to go like a little bit further than the netila, otherwise you'll mess yourself up. Maybe according to the Magen Avraham, if you go a little further than the netila, you cut it off the rest, so then for sure you could eat that with your kutach manafshach, because if you think we hold like the Rash, but it's kula wasser, then the Shach's chumra doesn't get off the ground. And if you think that we pass in like netila, so then more than a netila is still going to be parif. Fine. I guess we're out of time. So next time, Be'ezras Hashem, we'll start with Sif Dalid, and we'll finish up the last couple of small points from Simen Sadi Vav, and then we will do Simen Sadi Zayin, Be'ezus Hashem, on Wednesday, then you'll have Chazara until the Bechina, which you could take when you want, but we'll probably start new material, Be'ezus Hashem, the Monday after Shavuos. If you find that Shechazer all the Shavuos and the like, if you find that it's really not enough, so let me know, and we'll see if we need to push it off a little further, but hopefully we'll be able to start by then. I'm sorry?
Didn't we do Tzad Nehner?
Yeah, but we didn't do red. Sorry?
Did we open book again?
Yeah, open book.